Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're visiting with Ray Arata, an award-winning diversity, equity, and inclusion leader and speaker, consultant, and trainer with global clients from PwC to Verizon to Toyota to Bloomberg, and he's founded the Better Man Conference for the Development of Healthy Masculinity and Men as Allies and Partners. He was recognized by UN Women in 2016 as a He for She Champion for Change and received the Ron Ehring 2020 Award. His new book is Showing Up, How Men Can Become Effective Allies in the Workplace. And Mr. Arata, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Happy to be here.
So for starters, Mr. Arata, what's your story on how you got into this work? I'm sure listeners would be interested to hear the backstory.
So there's two parts to this story. There's the wake-up call story, which happened in 1999 when I got the news flash from the mother of my three children that she didn't want to be married to me anymore. And 6 weeks later, when I was working in the financial services business in Silicon Valley, one of my partners went from friend to foe when in the middle of the night he went to another rival firm. And I was ill-equipped to deal with what I now refer to as the 1-2 punch wake-up call. And after about 6 months of languishing, minus the emotional skill set, my manager called me out on some of my behavior. And when he called that out, it sounded like my wife. And I said, you know what? I've heard this before. I need to do something. And so he handed me a brochure called, and on it it said New Warrior Adventure Training. And I gave him this look like, what the heck is this? And he smiled and he said, here, call my wife. It changed my life. And so I took his word and flew to Texas, of all places, to do this weekend. And to sum up the weekend, it was an initiation into healthy manhood by having me look at how my unexamined behaviors, basically how the little boy in me was running the adult show. And so I learned about accountability. I learned about my emotions. And that sent me on a trajectory of joining a men's group once a week, what I now call the emotional gymnasium. And the hours started to accumulate. The cups of coffee with men who were searching started to accumulate. And in 2010, I met a diversity and inclusion consultant who said, you really have something here. I want to invite you to go to a women's leadership conference and just listen. Because she said, you know, the men that look like you, they need to hear from you. And so I went to this conference. I was the only guy there. And that's when my man in the mirror moment hit me, when I realized all those times my mom talked to me about being second born in an Italian family with all the rights and privileges and opportunities going to her older brother, but not her. I thought about my wife, who was the oldest in an Italian family, whose brother was at the helm for the most part for their real estate company. And then my daughter, who was going to be graduating with a degree in computer science. And I'm like, okay, am I just going to like do these men's weekends over here? Or am I going to, you know, buck up and start knocking on the door of corporate America and inviting companies and men to be part of, you know, gender equality, equity, and allyship efforts? And so there's a lot more after that, but, you know, that's what had me found the Better Man Conference, because I know how to create space for men to come and learn without shame or blame.
Yeah, that's quite a story and background, and I can only understand that news headline in 99 that turned your way of thinking around and had you be motivated to creating the Better Man Conference and many other details as well. Thanks for sharing what little you could with us with the time frame we have. Now, who did you actually write the book for, and what do you hope to accomplish with that?
So this book, which is my second book, I wrote the book for three groups of people. Men who, and I generously say this, there's more better men out there than not, because it's a minority of men who taint the rest, and it's the majority of men who need to shift their silence and not be painted by the brush of a few men, the ones that we see in the news. And so it's men wanting to be better allies and leaders inside companies. And that's the first group. The second group are the diversity, equity, and inclusion, HR, learning, and development leaders who are sitting in the question, how do we engage our men? What do we do? How can we include them as part of our diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy, because that was the one group that most companies now admit they neglected to include, the majority of all groups. And third, targeted historically marginalized folks. So that includes women, the LGBTQI community, BIPOC folks, people that don't identify on the binary spectrum, all of them who have a difficult time bringing their whole selves to work because they want to support and be supported by these very same men.
Also, Mr. Arata, what is different and unique about how you do what you do? Talk to us about that.
I get asked that question a lot. I would say because I herald from the trenches of work, of having amassed almost 15,000 hours of working with men on how to live and lead from the heart, my differentiator is that I've seen it all. I've worked, I've met all different shapes, sizes of men in terms of how they all need to rewrite their own version of what it means to be a man. And so there's a lot of organizations out there, women run, research driven, but in the trenches, when it comes to behavior change, I brought into the space, the leadership space and the diversity, equity, inclusion space in 2016, healthy masculinity. So I now realize what I was doing, it was a positive affront to manhood in a good way. So that's why so many companies and men are taking to what we're doing.
Well, I'd say you certainly are doing it in a unique way and really do appreciate your visiting with us here on EPN today. We're joined by Mr. Ray Arata, the author of the new book, Showing Up, How Men Can Become Effective Allies in the Workplace. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, what has been some of the obstacles that you've faced doing this kind of work, and how have you overcome those obstacles or challenges?
So probably the biggest obstacle for the longest period of time was lack of attention and intention by men. And what I mean by that is if us as men aren't feeling the pain because we're part of the boys club and we've got the position, we've got the power, we've got the job, we're just going to cruise along until either we feel pain or somebody lets us know that there's a bunch of people around us who are being impacted by the behavior of others or even ourselves. And so for a long time, I was knocking on those corporate doors and talking to a lot of women who knew exactly what I was talking about, and they'd be all excited, and they'd go back inside and run into the wall of men, and nothing would happen. Now, a few companies started, you know, recognizing this early on, and so, you know, with respect to that hurdle, that really affected things and really kind of got things going. So that's been the main hurdle for the most part. COVID actually has been an opportunity because it, along with the Time's Up, Me Too, Black Lives Matter movement and COVID, they created a perfect storm that basically has put the spotlight on the behavior of men. And so the obstacles are much less right now. The other obstacle would be, and this is more as it relates to what we call, as to what Paul Kibble created, the man box. It's that set of unwritten rules of what it means to be a man. Rules like don't show emotion, or men make all the decisions, or real men play sports, or real men aren't handicapped. There's a whole list of them. Those rules are operating in the background, and if they go unchecked, unexamined, most of us are going to operate as if that's the norm. And so dismantling and putting attention to what drives our language and our behavior and our thinking is how we get around that. So that's one of the reasons why in one of the chapters in my book, it's the fourth step of the Allies journey, I playfully titled it Think, Talk, and Act Like a Man. New Age, if you will.
Now, Mr. Arata, switching it up just a little bit here with this question, given that you are a white, straight male doing this work, what are some of your observations and tactics for working with white men?
So, great question. So, in my book, I've categorized five states of men that exist in most organizations. And one of those classifications is that there's a group of men who feel threatened by diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, and because it threatens their job. The operative word being there, which is indicative of their unexamined privilege. That same group are the men that recently are speaking to all this extra attention on men over the last 12 to 18 months is a distraction. Once again, my opinion, that is their unexamined privilege. Two, there's a group that don't feel included as part of DEI efforts. Three, and this is a big one, many men are afraid to say or do the wrong thing, so they don't say or do anything, which means they're complicit. Four, there's a group that want to do something, but they don't know what to do. And then there's the fifth group is the advocates, the few, the proud, the ones that are doing stuff already. And so what I've been examining as a white cisgendered male myself is how do I get past my own, what I call my white male fragility, and step into my white male ability. Now, my white male ability is my privilege. I'm 6'3 and a half. I've got the tall guy privilege. I'm heterosexual. There's a lot of stuff that's unearned in addition to what I've earned. And so when I talk to men about privilege, particularly white men, I invite them to appreciate the advantages we have and ask themselves, how do you want to be experienced or impacted by others? And if you have some fear, let me offer you something. I'm not a man of color that if I take a risk, my life is threatened. The worst thing that's going to happen to me is guys are going to give me crap. They're going to say stuff about me. I might get, you know, kicked out of the boys club per se, but at this juncture in my life, I want to be that guy that's willing to create space at the table for everyone to be there. And that's a personal choice. So I recognize that the time that we're going through right now is difficult, but if the work I do and when I work with companies, we meet men where they're at without shame and blame, there's a conversation and learning to happen. And so that's in a nutshell, and I could go on, but given our time limitations this morning, that's probably my best shot at answering your question.
Well, I think you did a very fine job in responding to that question. Thanks so much, and well done. Lastly, look at the big picture here. What would you say is your big vision overall?
You know, I've been asked that question a lot. You know, however many years from now, that it's cool to be introspective as a man, that to be connected to your emotions, to be vulnerable, to be authentic, things like that historically have not been part of a man's playbook, that's generally accepted and sought after. And as a result, women, people of color, the LGBTQIA community, they all feel safe. And men feel included, and we don't feel accused. And that ultimately, at the end of the day, this sense of healthy masculinity can be celebrated alongside, you know, everything else.
Mr. Arata, really appreciate the time spent with us here today here on EPN. If listeners wanted to get more information on you or the Better Man Conference or your book Showing Up, where's the best place to get all the details and information, as well as the best place to pick up the book?
So beautiful. So rayarata.com is about as informative as it can be in terms of who I am, my background, the book, speaking, workshops, things of that nature. Bettermanconference.com is where they can learn about the conference. And we're on all the typical outlets. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and there's other sites on the website. But those are the two main ones. And if they type into Google, Ray Arata showing up, there's several reviews that have come out already, so they can get somebody else's opinion other than mine before they read the book. And I was graced by Sheryl Sandberg, who gave me a blurb. She's on the front cover, and there's a lot of, and Justin Baldoni, the actor and director, they've all supported me in getting this book out, so they've got good things to say.
Well, Mr. Arata, we certainly do, again, appreciate your taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Again, folks, it is rayarata.com. Mr. Arata, thanks so much for joining us here today on EPN.
All right. Thanks so much, Eric. You have a great day.
Anytime, and you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Ray Arata, the author of the new book, Showing Up, How Men Can Become Effective Allies in the Workplace. And for more details, visit rayarata.com or Better Man Conference. EnterpriseRadio.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.